Many stories fill the pages of life. Some chapters you can be proud to tell. Others you would rather skip. The day life really turns a page is when you let God be the author of your story. Let God write your story, and you'll live a story worth telling. My story, I decided to start.
Every one of us has a story. Yesterday was a challenging day for our family as I had the honor and blessing, but also difficulty of leading the memorial service for my wife's sister, younger sister. Brain cancer hit her hard and fast, and she passed away at 51. But to see an auditorium this size down in Vancouver, Washington, just about every seat taken and people standing on the walls to celebrate a life that had impact, of ladies that she touched and teenagers from previous youth groups that she served in. She served in my first youth group. Teenagers traveling from all over to be there to tell a story of this life touched me, made an impact on me. It was hard, but powerful. I was thinking just while that song was being played, what story will people tell about us when that day arrives, when we're not there? How many will gather, and what will they say? Because every one of us has a story. And some stories that we have are positive. You know, we think back of some stories that, man, there was a problem and I overcame it. It looked like sure defeat and there became victory. I mean, I had goals and we met the goals and surpassed the goals. We can look back and go, you know, this decision was one of the best decisions I ever made and it changed my life, changed my story. But we all have stories that we don't want to share. It's hard to share. That we don't want to talk about, that's too embarrassing to share. That we have stories that we forget on purpose because it's painful. There's stories like, man, I can't believe I did that. I wish I never would have done that. And we don't want to share those stories. But they are part of our story, though. Part of our story. It's interesting as you look back, what may seem to be a small, insignificant decision that was made, but then it caused so much positive or negative results. The ripple effect, right? And maybe you met a friend, a new friend at school or a new friend at work, and you began a relationship, and then you found out that they went to church, and they started inviting you to church, and you were kindly saying, no, thank you, not interested, trying to be gracious. But then finally, they just kind of wore you down and said, just try, come once to my church, and then you made a decision to go to their church, and it wasn't what you thought it would be. It was better, and then you wanted to come back, and you made a decision to come back, and then you kept coming and coming, and eventually you met Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and your whole life was changed, your whole eternity was changed. But back here, it didn't seem like that big of a deal. You just met a friend, and you finally agreed to go to church. Now, all of our stories don't have a positive ending. There's part of our stories that went, man, I'm here, if I could go back, I would not start that relationship. If I could go back, I would not go on that spring break and do those things that I did. Or I would not invest my money in that property at that year. That was a bad decision, right? It did not have a good result. But little decisions often lead to change, good or bad. And the decisions we made yesterday have impacted our story today and moving forward. If you're taking notes today, or the central point today, really is the central point of this brand new series that we're starting today called My Story. The central point is this, is the decisions we make today determine the story we'll tell tomorrow. The decisions we make today determine the stories we will tell tomorrow. That's so true. Decisions matter. The word path in the Old Testament is a picture of our decision. We just finished Psalm 23, phenomenal series. I wish David would have wrote three more verses, you know, to keep teaching on that. But the paths of righteousness, the word paths, it's all about decision. Or the path of wickedness, right? Or the path of foolishness. Decisions matter. And many times we don't realize the significance of it. So I find myself, I was 17 years old, and I had to start thinking about college, and I made a decision that I didn't think was that big of a deal. And it became, and I look back now, it was huge, part of my story. But at 17 years old, I made a decision to pray and ask God to help me make a decision about what college to go to. That was just a simple decision. And so many of my friends, they didn't pray about anything. They just made a decision and went to different colleges. I don't know where I should go, but I want you, and I prayed, 17, pray. God, I want you to make the decision. And God, you need to help me. You got to make it obvious. Make it obvious. Then I received a basketball scholarship from a college in Southern California. And on the surface, like, well, there's a decision. You got a school that's going to help pay your, you know, pay part of your education. And I get to stay in California, and I'm closer to the beach than I was near Santa Cruz. I mean, it was God's will, right? But I remember going down there to meet the coach and walk the campus, and there was no peace. And then my senior class, we had raised enough money to go to our senior trip to Washington, D.C., and so we raised money there, and I said, well, my sister is about, you know, just a short plane ride from D.C. to Central Virginia, and I got permission from the principal, could I, you know, leave the class at the last day early, and for $100 of my own money, $100, I took a plane to Lynchburg, Virginia, to this little school. And as soon as I walked on that campus, I knew God was saying, this is where I want you to go. And I made a decision to not accept the scholarship and to go to Virginia, to Liberty University. And the Friday before classes started on Monday, the Friday before, I made a decision to go in the TV room to watch a preseason football game, Pittsburgh Steelers and Dallas Cowboys. And I met this girl. And she had me at hello. Actually, she had me at her name. What's your name? Candy. And it'd be my wife. Simple decision way back here. God, I want you to help me make a decision. I don't know where I should go to college, but I want you to make it and make it obvious. And the ripple effect continues. See, the decisions we make today determine the story we will tell tomorrow. So how do I live a story worth telling? I mean, I don't want to make foolish mistakes. How do I live a story worth telling? Well, let's take the advice of that cute little lady and our host through this series. He said this, well, let God write your story and you'll live a story worth telling. Isn't that simple but so profound? Let God tell your story. And you will live a story worth telling. And sometimes the story God writes has twists and turns and ups and downs that you didn't know, and it's hard. But you know, when God tells your story, it is a story worth telling. And you'll see this verse throughout the next couple of weeks here. It's from Hebrews. Let us fix our eyes on who? Let us fix our eyes on who? One more time, and I'm not sure if you're convinced. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. Little name description of Jesus. He's the what? Author. If we let God write our story, it's a story worth telling. Are you writing your story, or are you allowing God to write your story? Is he the author of your story? So what we're going to do is for the next 4 weeks today and then three more weeks, my story. Part one today is I decided to start. You got to start somewhere. And we'll unpack that. And some of the best decisions we'll ever make, we have to have a starting point. And today we're going to talk about you got to start some discipline. Maybe one discipline today or two. I don't want you to, I'm going to do seven things. I'm going to start seven things because then you won't do any of them. All right? And I want God to speak. I'm going to throw a bunch of things out there, but God is the one that needs to talk to you. That song before us was perfect. God, speak to me. What do I need to start? What discipline do I need to start? I'm not talking about starting a job or a new job or a business or write a book. A discipline. What do I got to start? And now next week, it's I decided to stop. There are behaviors, there's attitudes, there's habits that are hindering the story God wants to tell. And we have to come to a point where we got to stop doing certain things that are hindering the story God wants us to tell. That's next week. And then part three is I decided to stay. One of the best decisions we'll ever make is we stay even when it's easier to go. And we're tempted by the evil one to quit on God, to quit our church, to quit the dream that God gave us, to quit a marriage, to quit a bunch of things. When it's the best decision we have that we'll ever make, sometimes we're just going to just choose to stay because it's right, not easy, but as it's right, choose to stay when it's easier to go. That's part three. And then part four is I decided to go. See, God loves to push us and stretch our faith. And we get comfortable and we get cozy. And God goes, no, I want you to go. I want you to step out in faith. And one of the best decisions we'll ever make is when we decide to go, when it would be easier to stay. So what we're going to do, 4 weeks, four decisions. We're going to look at some Old Testament individuals who made a decision whose story we are still telling today. A decision that their story is still being told today. So go ahead and turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. We're going to look at two quick stories in the Old Testament today. But Daniel chapter 6. The decisions we make today determine the story we tell tomorrow. Now, Daniel is famous for Daniel and the lion's den. All right? The lion's den. Now, The moral of the story of the Daniel and the Lion's Den is this, is that cats were a problem then, just as they are today. But we're going to actually look at, the backstory before that happened. So here's Daniel. A long time ago, as a teenager, he was ripped from his homeland in Jerusalem and taken off into captivity, and God had his hand on him. And as he got older, God put him in places of influence, significant influence. And now he is with King Darius. Look at verse 1. It says, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps, that's another word for leaders, to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. Now Daniel's not a teenager. Now he's one of the three administrators at the top of the kingdom under King Darius. It says the satraps were made accountable to them, these administrators, so that the king would not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. I mean, out of the three administrators, you got all the leaders below, out of the three, he wanted to put Daniel as the top one right underneath the king over the whole kingdom. Verse 4, at this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They're looking for dirt. How do we find some fake news and get it out there to undermine Daniel? We don't want him as the number one administrator. How can we sabotage his career? How can we get him over us? He irritated them. But they were unable to find dirt. They did not find one contact with the Russian officials, with Daniel. This is amazing. Could not find anything. It's in there in the Hebrew somewhere. I love this. I highlighted this in my Bible. It says they could not find corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God. We can't find anything. So they went to the king and they said, hey, we got an idea. Daniel had no clue. Hey, we got this idea. Let's create a law that no one could pray to anybody but you, king, because you're awesome. You know, you're worthy of prayer and worship. So let's make a law. They puffed it up his head. No one can pray to anybody but you. And he's like, that sounds awesome. Let's sign a decree. Verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God. I love this. Just as he had done what? Before. Why was Daniel distinguished? Why was he different? Why was he unique? Why was he trustworthy? Why was he above reproach? Why was he without corruption? Why was he so diligent? Why couldn't they not find any trash on him at all? Because he was perfect? No. Because one time way back when, maybe when he was even a teenager, he made a decision to start a discipline. You know what? My relationship with God means something. It's not just something I say. It actually means something. And I'm going to start a discipline to pray three times a day to my God because he means something to me. It's not a religious ritual. It meant something to him. He made a decision to start a discipline. And day after day, week after week, before he was famous, before the book was written about him, before anybody knew what was going on, when no one knew what he was doing three times a day, he said, I'm serious with my relationship with God, and I'm going to pray. And whether there was a law or not, I'm going to do what's right, but it was a discipline that he started some time ago. And you know the story, then they arrested him, threw him in the lion's den, God protected him to prove his power. But wouldn't you want to see a little video glimpse of when was it? And I would say when he was a young teenager, when he decided to start a discipline of prayer. Prayer. In your notes, small disciplines lead to big life changes. It's the small disciplines, those decisions to, I'm going to be disciplined in this area of my life. Small disciplines lead to big life changes. And the decisions we make today determine the story we will tell tomorrow. You got to ask a couple of important questions. Here's the first important question I want you to think about, marinate on even today. Is in 5 or 10 years from now, got to ask yourself this question. In 5 or 10 years from now, what story does God want me to tell? In 5 or 10 years, what story does God want me to tell? Because I need to start a discipline today. Some of you right now, you're financially strapped. You're up to your earlobes in credit card debt. Is that the story you want to tell? Or in 5 or 10 years, you want to have a story of financial freedom? Well, you got to make a decision, a discipline today to determine what story you'll tell 5, 10 years from now. Some of you are so wrapped up in your career and you're so such a workaholic. You don't have a relationship with your kids. They exist in your house. You know them by name. They don't really know you. Is that the story you want to tell? Or years down the road, you want to tell a story of how much your kids love you being involved and engaged in their lives. So what decisions does God want you to make today? Some of you, your body is falling apart because you're carrying way too much weight. Is that the story that God wants you to tell? Or years from now, you're going to say, you know, I've lost 35 pounds and I've kept it off. I've lost 80 pounds and I've kept it off. My body is functioning so much better. I have so much more energy to play with my kids or my grandkids or be engaged in so many different things. Well, you may have determined to start something to tell the story God wants you to tell. Spiritually, you're anemic. You're an anorexic believer. We have to make some decisions to start a discipline today that in 5-10 years, you are a spiritual leader that has influence in the people in your lives, not because you're so smart, because you're so godly. But you're not now. What do you need to start? See, there are things in our lives that if we would tell the story today, we would not be proud about. But God may be speaking to some of you today saying, there's something I want you to start today. Because there's a story I want you to tell tomorrow that's way different than if you're still telling the story today. Let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2. Here's Nehemiah. He is a leader God brought back to Jerusalem as a remnant, came back out of captivity, and they were allowed to go back into the area of Jerusalem. And they came back, and the walls had been, you know, torn down. There was rubble everywhere. The gates of the city were burnt, you know, and they're no use at all. And the story, they have a story now. The story is they never fixed anything. They've been living there for some time, and they're an embarrassment to the neighbors around them because there's no fortification, there's no, you know, the defense. They're completely exposed. A major embarrassment. That's their story. And God sent Nehemiah to rally the people to change that story. So we see in chapter 2, he rallies them. Look at verse 17. Nehemiah said to them, "You see the trouble we are in." And there's times we just got to stop and say, this situation I'm in right now, whether it's financially, spiritually, relationally, whatever, it's not good, right? The first step is acknowledgement, right? There has to be changes. And he said, look at the rubble. Do you see the trouble we're in? Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. And he challenges them, come, let us rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. We got to change the story. Let's do something about it. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king said to me. And they replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. But when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the Ammonite official, and Geshem, the Arab, heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. What is this you're doing? They asked. Are you rebelling against the king? You see, if God wants you to start something, you best expect the enemy to oppose it. The enemy that does not want you to tell the story God wants you to tell, so he's going to attack you, ridicule you, put obstacles in your way. That's the way it works. That's also a really good sign that you're listening to God and you want to do what God wants you to do, if you face opposition. If you face no opposition, then maybe that's not the decision that God wants me to change. But now they see themselves, they're embarrassed, they have a reputation of disgrace, and they say, you know what, let's start rebuilding. And they faced opposition. And I loved verse 20, Nehemiah answered them by saying, the God of heaven, he's talking against those who oppose them, the God of heaven will give us success. We are his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to us. Drop the mic, get out of our face. And when we know that God wants us to start something, it may seem insignificant. Like, you got to start praying. Don't tell people that you pray when all you pray is over meals. Dear God, help me not to get sick when I eat this, right? Or help me to not gain weight as I eat 3 pizzas, all right? God's not going to answer that prayer. But that's all you pray. You know, when's the last time you've been on your knees as a habit, crying out to God for power in your life? Some of you are like, my finances are a mess. And God's like, well, why don't you start giving me some of it? I can do way better. Just give me a little bit. You're spending all of it on yourself. Honor me in my word. Insignificant, just a little start. I don't know what God's saying, but it's going to face opposition. And when you face that opposition, and I do this, when Satan is just after me and he's throwing lies at me, I'm like, I don't belong to you. Get out of my face. Back off. You're defeated. The cross and the grave kicked your butt. Now get away from me. Yes, your pastor talks that way at times. I don't belong to him. So what I need to start today? What I got to rebuild today? There's errors in my life. No, I don't want this to remain my story. Can't go in the back in the past and change the past and decisions that you made or other people made. But what is God speaking to you? Like, I want you to start a discipline today so that you can tell a different story tomorrow or down the road. Second question, not only where do I want to be 5-10 years, is what discipline does God want me to start? Not my spouse, not my parents, not my pastor. What discipline does God want me to start? Now, I'm going to throw out a bunch of things. And I just want God to use this. And he may give you something that's not even on the list, which is awesome. Here, how about this one? Some of you need to start growing spiritually. Let me back up. Some of you, God has been saying, I died for you, I redeemed you, I rose again, proving that, and you have heard the gospel over and over again, and you need to start a relationship with me today, on Sunday, in July, right where you're sitting. Would you just surrender and trust me and accept me as your Lord and Savior? And you're going to go from darkness to light, to spiritual death, to spiritual life. Some of you need just to accept Jesus today, right now. Some of you need to be baptized. You have gotten saved, and every time you hear about being baptized, Satan speaks to you and gives you all kinds of excuses of why you shouldn't. You need to pull out your card today, fill out your name and information, check off the box that says, I want to be baptized, and move forward. Maybe that's a start. Some of you need to start reading your Bible. You're like, okay, I'm a Christian. I'm not growing spiritually. Take the Bible and start reading it. I was like, okay, I'm going to start in Matthew, and I'm going to, every day for the next 30 days, I'm going to be in God's Word. Maybe you do a chapter and just marinate. Maybe you just, you read and just soak it up and you just, and pray, God, speak to me. I want to grow. Pray for 30 days straight. Read God's Word for 30 days straight. Some of you need to say, I'm not growing spiritually because I'm here on Sunday and then I'm gone three and here, and I've just come up with excuses and now it's super nice out and, you know, I'll come when it rains again in October. And God goes, no, you start a discipline. It'll be, is your walk with God seriously? Like David's, is it serious? Grow spiritually. Maybe the second option is you've been a child of God for a while, but you're just spiritually out of shape. You've had disciplines that you stopped, and you've been a believer for 10 years, and your spiritual menu is now and then, well, I'll read a psalm and a proverb a day, and that's it. You're better than that. You need more than that. Stop eating the milk and start looking for some meat. You need to start, I need to get serious. And I'm going to register right now today for Bible study fellowship, men or women's, and I'm going to start getting into God's Word. I'm going to take an inductive Bible study class where we're going to go verse by verse and just unpack it. And I've got to get away from the milk, and God wants me to get in shape. Some of you have been saved for a while, but you've been stuck for a long time. What do you need to start? Here's another one. Some of you are emotionally unhealthy. Your emotions are out of control. Your anger's out of control. Your reactions, the relationships around you, there's rubble. Well, what do you need? Where are you going to start? Maybe you need to sign up or call and get a professional counselor this week and start going and unpacking. Why do I have rubble all around me? Stop being a victim. Start blaming your mom because she didn't potty train you correctly, you know, whatever it is, and say, this is not the story I want to tell. So I'm going to get some help. Here's another option. Maybe the story you're telling is your marriage is, Well, what are you going to do about it? Maybe you need to start praying for your spouse every day, multiple times a day, on your knees, pray for your spouse. Not that, God, would you change that boy? No. Just bless them and, you know, do something in their heart, because I can't change him. I can't change her, but I'm going to pray for you.
Maybe you're going to need to start dating again.
Well, we haven't dated since, 20 years from now.
Well, then change that. Start romancing your spouse again. Well, what if they don't respond? To keep doing it anyways? Just wear them out with love and affection. I don't know what that is. But is that the story you want to tell? Because you're telling a story now. What does God want it to be? How about get your finances in order? I know this fall we're going to have either Financial Peace or Thrivent, one of the two. I mean, it's a biblical-based financial class to get victory in your finances. Some of you are a slave to debt, and you can be released. It's going to be painful. Just as when they looked at all the rubble, it was hard work. It was dirty work. It was not fun work. But one by one, the rubble got cleared and the wall got built. Some of you need to do that financially. How about this one? Some of you just need to get in physical shape. You're not glorifying God with your body. The temple is not this room. It's this. Some of you are like, it's this or this. You're not healthy physically. Well, what do you need to change? Diet, exercise. I mean, it's not rocket science. It's a discipline. I don't know what it is. Other things. God, what do you want me to start? So I can tell a story tomorrow that's different from today. I love the story here in Nehemiah. At the end, it says this. Do I have that on there? Yes. So the wall was completed on the 25th day of Elul. That's one of the months in the Jewish calendar. In 52 days. I mean, this is like, oh my goodness, this is a God thing. This was impossible. They didn't do it in their own strength. Some of the things that God wants you to start, you can't do it in your own strength. You can't fix your marriage. You can't fix your relationship with your kids. You can't fix, your debt. You can't fix the past. But God can do amazing things if you let him. But you've got to start somewhere. But in 52 days, look at the result. I love this. And when all of our enemies heard this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence. They wimped out. Because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our who? God. God was the author of that story. It wasn't Nehemiah. Yeah, he was a great leader. Awesome. Great leadership principles in the book of Nehemiah. But they allowed God to change their story. And it was hard, and it was messy, and it was dusty, and it was dirty, and their arms were tired, and they were like, can I keep doing this? It's so hard. We're facing opposition. There's enemies all around. Then that should fire you up. Like, okay, I'm doing what God wants me to do because the enemy is ticked off. But they keep going. But they had to start somewhere. So what does God want you to start? A discipline. So that your story can be a God story tomorrow. Yield to him. Let him be the author of your story. When we take the pen and we start writing, we make a mess of our story. Surrender and then start what God wants you to start. Let's pray. God, I see many just wonderful people out here. Some of them have good stories right now. Some of them have rubble stories. There's rubble everywhere around them. And God, I pray through your spirit, through your prompting, you have talked to some of them like, in this area of your life needs discipline. And you need a discipline to start. And God, may they not only have wisdom to know what you want them to do, I pray that you give them courage to then start and stay with it so that they can tell your story to their kids, their grandkids, of what you did in their life. Bless this series, I pray. Speak to us of what you want in our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.